Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Text line 69306. CDOT, since we're getting things off our chest, can we send out a PSA? Can we stop with one-year-old birthday parties? Like, what's the point? The baby's not going to remember it. Post the pic. It was like we were all there. If you want to tell your wife or girlfriend that you don't want to celebrate your kid's first birthday, hey, that's something you got to take up. That's not a cause I'm willing to fight for you. That's something you got to figure out on your own, my guy.
Now, you want to dump like kindergarten graduation and third grade graduation and sweet 16 parties? I'm totally down with that man.
I'm just saying that.
Why the hell do you have to pat little Sparky on the head for getting through second grade? Let's have a big party.
Okay.
Let's have a beach theme. I'll fill the basement up with sand. We'll get some towels. It's going to be great. No, it's second grade, man. You don't get anything from doing second grade.
I know I don't like a lot of things, but you low key hate a lot of stuff too.
yeah, you might be.
I know you might be old.
Hey, wait.
You might be old Spectre.
You're about to get married. Wait till you got to drop like a grand on a second grade graduation party.
And then
you tell me how you feel about it.
I agree with you I totally agree with you in principle. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's fine when everybody else does it. Then when you get the bill for it, you're like, how in the hell why?
I just know that I hate a lot of things, but low key find some situations you really dislike.
Man, I'm just telling you.
Okay, I mean,
I just think we got to pat everybody on the head and drop like $5,000 and outdo the neighbors on some stupid fourth grade.
This ain't happening in black families. I don't know what y'all talking about. This is never happening in black families. You got to outdo them and spend $5,000 on a fourth grade birthday party.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know what that is.
But you know, it's extreme. But I'm just saying, we spend all this money on stuff that we never used to. It drives me crazy.
I'm just saying.
Hey, congratulations. Hey, way to go. Glad you got out of bed today. Way to go. Let's have a party.
I guess I'm just saying that there's some things that you and your lady. To me, there's like mandatory things and there's optional things with your lady. The first birthday party
mandatory
for the kid is you're not getting out of that. Wedding photos are not optional. They're mandatory.
Yes.
She wants to take them. Your job is to stand there and smile. That's your job in those scenarios. So if you want to take up on the text line, if you want to take up the cause of eliminating first birthday parties for your kid, try that. Because I'm telling you, that is going to go terribly.
You're going to lose that battle, bro.
That is going to go terribly.
Yeah, I'm fighting the engagement photo battle right now. Yeah. I know I'm going to lose, but I'm at least going to make a stand.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
You're going to take them, buddy.
Just take a picture.
I hate to be the example,
but I'll take them for you.
We have 1,000 pictures.
Yeah, you are absolutely
going to
wait till
you have homecomings and stuff like that, and you take like 1,400 pictures for every homecoming, and you don't do anything with them. It's great.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely going to take them.
And it takes like 4 hours apiece.
Let's calm down about millennials and Brad Fanning and get to the top.
I'm triggered now.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Here you can go if you're a millennial, if you're a little bit older. You can go enjoy a nice sandwich or breakfast at the Broadway Deli, who's the sponsor of this fine segment. Broadway Deli, amazing food down there, the crossroads, 20th and Broadway. Well, the big news today, Derek Johnson's time with the Oakland Raiders is now over. He has been cut. This, according to Vic Tafer, who's been a longtime beat reporter of the Oakland Raiders. I was about to say Los Angeles Raiders, but you probably did cover them back when they were in their L.A. days. But Derek Johnson, now a free agent with the Kansas City Chiefs, potentially going to join us tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. But looks like DJ is back out on the market. Interested in a reunion between him and the Chiefs?
I'm going to go with no. I don't think Derrick Johnson's an improvement over what you currently have. Derrick Johnson's 35 years old. Like, I don't want a Men in Black flashy thing ourselves and think that Derrick Johnson is now an upgrade over Reggie Ragland or Anthony Hitchens. I got all the respect in the world for Derrick Johnson. I think Derrick Johnson's going to be in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be in the Ring of Honor. I think he's like a borderline Hall of Famer. Don't think he'll get it, but I think he'll be a finalist at some point for the Hall of Fame. I think he had a tremendous career. But, man, football always tells you when it's over. And football's told you, Derek Johnson, that's over. You're 35 years old. You've been banged up with injuries. Man, go home. Be a coach. Spend time with your kids. It's over, Derek, in my opinion.
Chiefs are giving up 5.7 yards per carry. It is the worst in the NFL, and it will come back to haunt them in the postseason. Because it always does. It did with the Titans and Derrick Henry last year. It did the year before with Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. All options are on the table because you have a once-in-a-generation offense in Kansas City right now. Kick the tires. Find out if it works. If you got to sit Reggie Ragland for a few weeks because he's banged up, then do it. And then when it comes playoff time, if Ragland's healthy, put him back out there and let's go. They got to do something, man, or they're going to waste one of the best offenses in the history of the NFL. I'm up for listening.
Two.
My favorite thing about Chiefs fan is if it was up to fans, the Chiefs coaching staff would be like 97 people. Because anybody old and washed, fans want as a coach. Fans want as a coach. If you're old and washed NFL player, oh, my God, the text line wants you to come coach the Chiefs.
I would take DJ as a coach. I mean, I've been around him enough to know that he's a football rat, man. He isn't one of those guys that wants to get done playing and then leave the game. He'll never leave the game. He loves it too much. This guy's 35 with two blown Achilles and went to freaking Oakland to play for Chucky. He loves the game, man. You get him back in here. I'd love to have DJ as a coach in Kansas City.
I mean,
if you can't do it.
I don't have a problem. I feel like we have this conversation four times a year. When Tomba couldn't play anymore, let's just bring him on as a coach. Like, man, the coaching staff would have 97 people if the text line could hire the coaches for the Chiefs.
Derek Johnson made probably like $45 million. If I made $45 million, I would not be coaching and working 14-hour days.
It's not the way he's wired, though, man.
I understand.
I did that event with him for that Lyft driver that was shot last fall. And I was talking to his wife about it. I'm like, how does Derek get out of bed on Monday mornings? And she says that he's so amped and wired up, it doesn't really hit him till Tuesday. And he takes such great care of his body, he's good by Thursday, which to me is amazing. That's just the way the dude's built, man. He's got football in his blood.
Same as Patrick Peterson, who is apparently on the block, according to multiple NFL insiders. Trez Paylor joined us every Tuesday at 3:30. You can check it out in the on-demand section of 610sports.com. Here was Therese's opinion on trading for Patrick Peterson, a first-round pick and a future third-round pick.
Special years are special for a reason. They're hard to come by. And even though you think, like, Pat's going to be good, like, you know Pat's good. Like, you're going to be contending for years and years. You only get the first year he starts where teams don't fully know how to stop him yet one time. You only get that one time. Like, even the greatest show on turf slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit once teams got to see him and they spent 8 months preparing, right? There is nothing, after seeing what Patrick Mahomes did on Sunday, I don't think there's anything anyone's going to be able to do to stop this offense short of, like, Mahomes getting hurt. If he's staying healthy, I think this offense is going to put up a ton of points and no one's stopping him. The Achilles heel for this team is the defense. They need another stud. I believe Eric Berry will be back. I do. And I think if you got a defense that's Peterson, Eric Berry, Dee Ford on the contract here, and Justin Houston, I think that's enough. I do. I just say it. I think it's enough. I think it's enough to make a legitimate run at, like, winning a Super Bowl. And maybe you end up hurting in draft when you don't have a first round pick. But if you believe in your ability to scout, Andy Reid's 60 years old. You're not getting any younger. Like, this is a special offense and a really interesting team. I would consider doing.
So, did Therese sell you on the idea of giving up multiple draft picks for all pro quarterback Patrick Peterson?
I mean, I was already thinking that before. So, I mean, Therese didn't really convince me maybe to go get Patrick Peterson. I think he makes the same argument that I was making yesterday. Man, the Chiefs have a chance to have a top five offense in the history of the NFL. Not in 2018. They have a chance to be top five in the history of the NFL from yards, points, all of that perspective. Man, if that's the case, man, I don't know if you can squander this defense and then go into the offseason feeling like you could have done more. That we will get into it on the other side about the options that the Chiefs have. Man, there aren't a whole lot of options for the Chiefs defense. That if you can go out there and you can add somebody that you think helps the defense, then you have to do it. And we'll talk about it. I think people are looking at it through the wrong way. I don't think any one player will fix the Chiefs defense. That's not realistic. The Chiefs defense doesn't need fixing. It needs help. Fixing, I think, gets them to like 9 or 10 in the NFL. That ain't realistic. help can get you to 21. If this defense was the 21st best defense in the NFL, you got a chance to win a Super Bowl with that defense. So it's not about adding one player that's going to magically fix the defense. It's about improving the defense to get it to be average in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. And I'm on board with this. I mean, I didn't need Therese to talk me into it, but it validated what I was thinking. I mean, all you have to do is watch the Monday night game last night, right? The Green Bay Packers have a good defense. They're 11th in total defense. CJ, what's his last name, Spec? The quarterback for the 49ers. How do you pronounce his last name?
Beathard.
Oh, that's right. CJ Beathard. CJ Beathard. And the 49ers hung 30 on the Packers at Lambeau on Monday Night Football, and that's a good defense. So, good defenses are getting popped. Bad defenses are getting shredded, man. The last thing I want to see in Kansas City is having an offense like this, and they get beat 48-43 in the playoffs. Then I'm really pissed. I'm even more pissed than last year. So if you can improve this defense right now, if you can pull a Zobrist Cueto-type deal to bring in somebody like Patrick Peterson, which I think at the corner position is the most plug-and-play position on defense, especially if you're going to do it mid-season, see guy, cover guy, then go do it. Make it happen. And if the Chiefs are going to go after Earl Thomas, they sure as hell better go after Patrick Peterson.
And that concludes the hits for today. There's actually a lot of stuff to get into on a Tuesday. Let's start with this. Let's kind of start with the later thing, and let's kind of work ourselves forward. The NFL has become the Big 12. Like yesterday, I tuned in to ESPN thinking I was going to see a really good NFL game. That ain't what I got. I got a really good college football game yesterday. Over the last two NFL games in week six of the NFL season, In Sunday Night Football, we saw 83 points, 946 yards, 8 touchdowns in Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football, 66 points, 922 yards, 6 touchdowns were scored in the course of the game. Out of the 32 teams in the NFL, 30 of them have allowed 30 points or more in a game this season. 11 have allowed 40 points or more in a game so far this season. 29 quarterbacks have already thrown for over 300 yards this season, and it's week 6 of the NFL. That the NFL, they got what they wanted. They wanted to make it easier to play quarterback and emphasize the stars, which I think has diluted the position that now C.J. Beathard in his 7th NFL start can throw for 300 yards on the road. That you remember. Man, there used to be a time that throwing for 300 yards was like a really special thing. Yeah. It was a really, really hard thing to do. Anybody can do it. 29 quarterbacks so far have done it. 300 yards is not special or unique anymore. Now it's 400 yards.
Mahomes has done it in every game.
Like, man, you threw for 400 yards in a game that we have just completely devalued passing stats. So if you've devalued playing quarterback, that it's more good quarterbacks, it's more skilled quarterbacks, all that kind of stuff. Like, you got to stink to be a bad quarterback in 2018. Yeah. You got to be Nathan Peterman to not be capable to play quarterback in 2018. So if we have diluted the quarterback position and we haven't really created a huge gap between the great quarterbacks and the average quarterbacks, and we've done the exact same thing with the defense. Like, how many teams do we think have a legitimately good defense this year? 4, 5 out of the 32 teams in the NFL? Maybe,
yeah,
like, exactly. The Chiefs don't have a good defense. But, man, it ain't like their defense is really that far from being 22nd in the NFL. It's like 500 yards. You know what I mean? Like, I know sounds really crazy, but, man, it's not that huge of a gap between the really bad teams and the really good teams. I looked this up.
I mean, real quick, though, I mean, the Chiefs' defense is – I mean, there's 300 yards difference between them and the Atlanta Falcons. The Chiefs are 32nd. The Falcons are 31st. I mean, that's a big gap.
That I look right now in the NFL, and there just isn't a whole lot of separation. I understand that it's early in the season. Man, there's only 9 teams in the NFL under 500. Everybody still has a chance for the most part. Like, you got to be bad to not have a chance. Not saying that all these teams are making the playoffs. Obviously, like, the Jets, to me, are not making the playoffs. Man, the Jets are 3-3 right now, scrappy, a little bit competitive. Washington's not super impressive, but they're 3-2. Just beat Carolina this weekend.
In a weak division.
Yeah, they're like, I'm looking at the NFL right now. I think there's legitimately 4 good teams, 5 good teams. I think there's some really competitive teams, some scrappy teams that can beat you on any given day, like Los Angeles can beat you on any given day. The Chargers, not the Rams. Like, there's some scrappy, fun teams. But, man, like, we've diluted the NFL to the point there is not a huge gap between the teams you really like Kansas City and Los Angeles. There's not a huge gap to me from those teams to a team like Los Angeles or Tennessee that are a little bit over 500. One injury can kind of change things. Like the NFL, they have achieved what they've always wanted. This is true parity right now. Nobody knows who's going to the Super Bowl. Nobody knows who's good. Nobody knows who's bad. They have finally accomplished true parity, which they have been trying for a long time.
But isn't this what you want? Isn't this what everybody wants? I mean, like in baseball, the old Chipper Jones Braves commercial. Chicks dig the long ball, man. People dig touchdowns. They want scoring. They want high-scoring games. They want 43-40 coming down to the last second. They want 30-all late in the fourth quarter on Monday Night Football. That's what they want. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of defense, but, I mean, I think when you're seeing high-scoring games, then you're getting – it's exciting. It keeps the attention. I mean, nobody has an attention span anymore. Everybody's got their face in their phone or on a screen or can't have a conversation anymore. You got a spinner. You got to take Xanax. You got to do whatever just to hold your attention span. Man, nobody wants to see 12-9 games between the Titans and somebody else. They want 43-40 coming down to the wire because that's exciting. The NFL's got that. So I think you're right. I think the NFL got exactly what it wants. You can't hit the quarterbacks, and you can't stop anybody because you can't hit anybody either. So, I would like somewhere in the middle a little bit. But it also, to me, tells me that, man, we might be at least a smidge overreacting on the Chiefs' defense a little bit because nobody's defense is that great. Would you say 4 or 5 defenses? Maybe. I mean, there are, let me see, Baltimore, Dallas, Tennessee, Chicago, Philly, those are your top 5, and then Seattle. There are six teams, the Rams are in there, that are holding teams to under 20 points a game. Everybody else is over that. And the Chiefs are at 25.7, I believe it is, 26, something like that, 28.7, excuse me. So that's why I think – that as bad as the defense is, and if you make one move, I think the Chiefs can win out. They can run the table. I mean, they're averaging 36 a game. And so if you can just, with the exception of a couple of games where you have some mismatches, where I think the Rams are going to be a bad matchup for the Chiefs.
Yeah, because they can score.
Yeah, they can score, and Todd Gurley can run over you. And we saw that the Chiefs can't stop the run. I think it's a bad combination for the Chiefs. But other than that, I think the Chiefs, with their offense, if they could just get a smidge better on defense, I think they can run the table, man.
Yeah, I don't think this is the 15-1 team. I don't feel that way. I certainly could be wrong. This is maybe where I disagree with you a little bit on the Chiefs. Is I think whenever you have created what the NFL has created, there's not a huge gap between the truly great teams and the other teams. Like, I think the Chiefs are one of the 3 best teams in the NFL. But I'm sorry, man. There's not a huge gap between the Chiefs and Tennessee. There's not a huge gap, in my
opinion.
Offensively,
they're
better. They're better than them, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not better
offensively
than them.
Is a huge
gap. You tell me all the time, man. Any given Sunday, you could run the ball effectively.
Look at the Bills and the Vikings.
I look at the NFL and how you lost in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
That we know some teams are going to improve defensively. Right now, there's not a lot of good teams defensively. There's not. If you look at the numbers, it is completely out of whack. That the NFL has turned the offense up all the way to 10. There's going to be some defensive coordinators that are going to adjust, and the weather's going to change, and the offense is going to come down just a little bit. A team like New England, we were talking about this yesterday, they're going to improve defensively. New England is not going to be this bad that they are right now 2 months from now.
Yeah.
Middle of December, they're going to be a better team defensively. The Patriots are not the only team in the NFL that's going to be the case. Are we talking about the Chiefs being that kind of team? Are we talking about that? Because I think right now there are 3 options in the NFL, or at least for the Chiefs, excuse me. I think behind door number 1, there is trust Bob Sutton. Do you trust Bob Sutton to fix the problems on the defense? Because
I don't think you really have a choice if you're a fan, though.
I know.
Right?
I'm saying is if you don't lose it, you will squander the defense, and then we will have a show in January where everybody's pissed and they're calling to get Bob Sutton fired because they wasted one of the 5 best offenses in the history of the NFL, and we blame the defense because they lost 41-38. That seems very, very possible for this team. Mm-hmm. I would say there's door number 2, which is the hope and wish factor, I'm calling it. It's hoping you get Eric Berry back. You wish Eric Berry's back at 100%. You wish you get Eric Berry back this season. I don't know if Eric Berry's playing or not. Therese seems to be pretty confident that he's going to come back. Jason Lockenfora thinks he's going to play so far this year. But I don't know how good he is when he comes back. Like, what if you get 60% Eric Berry out there?
I'd take it.
But I would say,
you're down. You're playing Leon McQuay and Josh Shaw right now. I'll take it. I'll take 60% Eric Berry.
I don't know what 60% of Eric Berry looks like. I legitimately don't know what it looks like.
Well, I'd rather have 60% of Eric Berry covering Gronk than Josh Shaw in that situation.
Yeah, I'm with you. But let's see. I'm just saying is sometimes that you get what you ask for. That everybody wants Eric Berry to come back here, but we've seen guys rush themselves from injury and they not be the player that we think they're going to be. I'm with you. I'm not arguing for the sake of arguing.
Yeah.
I'm certainly taking the side of. But I think there is this hope with the Kansas City Chiefs. That certainly is door number two. And we get Barry back. We get Justin Houston back. Everything's going to be okay. That's a hope with the Chiefs. I'm at least open to the possibility that Eric Berry doesn't come back or Justin Houston isn't the playmaker and game changer that we think he is. I think you have to be willing to entertain that possibility. And then I think door number three is that Brett Veach is really the aggressive person that a lot of people tell me that he is. Man, being aggressive is not going to get Reggie Ragland. That's not aggressive to me. Being aggressive with draft picks is not trading up to get Breland Speaks in my mind. Man, aggressive is we have a once-in-a-generational kind of offense. We're going to mortgage some of the future to go get Patrick Peterson. Aggressiveness is I'm going to make two or three moves at the deadline for mid-round draft picks for guys that we think can plug in and help this team defensively. That's being aggressive in my mind. Again, being aggressive is not making the Reggie Ragland move last year. The Chiefs have potentially a top five offense in the history of the NFL. And we agree, there is a chance they let it go to waste because their defense can't figure it out. Like, to me, you got to be willing to at least entertain the possibility that this team's defense is going to be the reason they get eliminated from the playoffs. So, man, it's really that simple to me. There's three options. There's either you trust Bob Sutton to figure it out and you think this defense takes step forward. It's either door number two, the wish and hope with Eric Berry and Justin Houston, who have only played one game together in the Chiefs' last 23, that you're hoping they come back to the playoffs and they are difference makers that can really improve this defense. Or you think number three, they're bringing somebody that's not on the roster right now and they get better that way. But I'm sorry, Daniel Sorensen coming back is not changing things. Eric Murray coming back is not changing things in the playoffs. Like, man, you need great players to win big-time kind of games. And right now on their defense, your big-time players are out, or you just don't have them on this team.
I'm gonna put myself in Brett Veach's shoes for a minute. Hoping and wishing usually doesn't work. I mean, that doesn't really make things happen typically. So if I'm Brett Veach, what can I actually control? Can I control how Eric Berry feels and if he's going to come back or not? You can't. Can you control whether if Bob Sutton's going to get this defense turned around? In my opinion, you can't, because we've seen the last couple of years where they've struggled. So the one thing that Brett Veach can control is this. He can make a deal. So I'm choosing door number three. And I do think Brett Veach is that aggressive general manager. I think if Therese's report is true, and it is, and Therese's money, that the Chiefs had a deal in place for Earl Thomas until he broke his leg. So they were trying to bring in a safety that was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. They're going to rent a player and give up a draft pick to get him. That's pretty damn aggressive to me. And if that's the case, he sure as hell better go after Patrick Peterson if that's a possibility. Because he's still his contract runs through 2020, and it's expensive, but it's not over-the-top crazy. So if I'm Veach, I can't control Eric Berry's health. I can't control Bob Sutton getting this defense ready to go. What I can control is changing the roster and bringing in somebody. So Brett Veach better do that. And again, as I mentioned before, I think the most plug-and-play position on defense is at corner, especially when you play as much man as the Chiefs do. Because I think if you're bringing in D linemen, you're bringing in linebackers, you're bringing in safeties, it's a much more complicated and much more difficult to learn a new system. With a corner, see guy, cover guy. See that dude? Yeah. Okay, coach. What do you want me to do? Cover him. Don't let him get... Okay, coach. Got it. I mean, I think, and I'm simplifying it. I'm oversimplifying it. But you get what I'm saying. So the one thing that Veach can control is going and getting somebody to not fix the defense, but help the defense and plug a hole.
But I don't think this defense needs to be fixed per se. I mean, certainly would be great. I'm not saying that you wouldn't like for it to be fixed. But, man, all the Chiefs really need is an improvement defensively. Right now, you were on pace to give up the most yards in the history of the NFL. You're bottom 10 when it comes in giving up points. And everybody was saying they can get stops when they need to. They keep teams out of the end zone. All right. I didn't see that on Sunday against New England.
No, they're 27th in the league and giving up points.
And you're going to see New England again. Can you get from 27th to 21st in the NFL and giving up points?
Right now, that puts you at 25.7.
If that's the case, I think you go to the Super Bowl. If that's the case, mm-hmm. I think you can do that. I think if you can take a jump from 25 to 19.
Yeah, I mean, New England's 18th right now, giving up 24.7 a game.
I think you have a chance. And I would say right now, the two biggest questions you have if you are a Chiefs fan when it comes to the defense. Because I think the question about Bob Sutton has already been answered in my mind. I'm not going to play this I believe in Bob Sutton game because I don't. The two questions I think you have to have if you're a Chiefs fan in relation to the defense is, what happens if you get Eric Berry and Justin Houston back, and how improved is this defense? Mm-hmm. Because that has to be the hope that you are playing. That's your secret weapon. Your secret weapon is in week 12, week 13, whenever you add them, you're adding an all-pro safety and an all-pro outside linebacker that are improvements on your team.
Yeah.
That your logic works, that even if Eric Berry's not 100%, he's 80%, he is an upgrade over what you have, and his veteran presence can help you win a playoff game. That has to be your hope. And your second hope has to be that Brett Veach thinks the exact same thing that we think. The Chiefs offense has a chance to be historic once in a generation, and like Therese says, man, the 99 Rams, you didn't keep that team and that offense for 15 years.
Yeah.
You got 3 years of their offense being historic and the one that we all remember. Not saying that things don't change. I mean, Green Bay can still score because they got Aaron Rodgers. But their offense is not nearly as historic as it was in 2011 when you had a younger Rodgers, a younger Jordy Nelson, a younger Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy was there when your offense was just in a better situation than it is right now. You got a once-in-a-generation offense. I think it is very possible that the Chiefs score 600 points this year. Only one team in the NFL has done it. If you think that's the case and you're Brett Veach and you're sitting there and looking at your offense and you've got a first-round pick to play with this year, you've got 2 second-round picks because of you trading Marcus Peters, you've got a third-round pick, man, you got to be aggressive and you got to do something that you think can help this team this year because you might – with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, as much as we like to think that you get all these shots, you might only get 4 or 5 chances to win a Super Bowl. Like, as great as Aaron Rodgers is,
man,
Rodgers has really had like 4 chances to win a Super Bowl. You don't get a whole lot of them. This might be one of them. Man, we got the best offense in the NFL. We got an offense that finished 6th all-time in scoring points. This might be your best chance with Mahomes. I don't know why he wants to hear that, but it could be your best chance.
Yeah, Dan Marino. He got one crack at it.
It could be your best chance.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you sell the farm and sell your first, second, and third round draft pick, but you gotta be willing to give up some of that draft capital for a guy you think can improve your roster. If you were willing to do that for Earl Thomas, there has to be another player you think can improve this defense. If you think it's Patrick Peterson and it's a late first round pick, we're not talking about a high first round pick, a late first round pick to do it for a guy that you're gonna have for multiple seasons who's under contract, I think you have to do it.
I know we got a lot of golfers that listen. I'll put it to you in this perspective. Man, if you're hitting bombs off the tee, you're striping your irons, and you can't putt, you can't win the tournament. You got to have all three phases working, man. And right now, if we're going to use the golf analogy, the Chiefs can't putt, and if they can't putt, they can't win.
Coming up in just a bit, it was impossible to watch Aaron Rodgers last night and not think about Patrick Mahomes, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. All that coming up is The Drive. Back in on The Drive, text line 69306, talking about the Chiefs defense. And I've held the belief that the Chiefs' best defense is their offense. Like, I don't think their defense is good enough. Like, I don't want anyone to think that, because someone was like, your opinion changes on the Chiefs' defense. My stance on the defense is very, very simple. I think the Chiefs are a really, really good team. And maybe where I look at the flaw in teams is I always try to envision what would make you lose in the playoffs and how can you now fix it. Just like if we're talking about a college basketball team and you see a college basketball team can't shoot free throws, you're thinking, I mean, that's going to be a problem in March. That's how we're going to get knocked out of the NCAA tournament. What do we need to do? Like what happened with Udoka back in the Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
I kind of look at their defense like, man, like, you got to fix some things before you start talking about it. We can finish that conversation here in just a bit, but it's your chance to win 1,000 on the 30s in our national cash contest. Text the word water, W-A-T-E-R, water, to 72881. That's water. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City that gives you both weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and try to win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing. Water, W-A-T-E-R, water, 272-881. The National Cash Contest code word is water.
You know how they say that in New York, don't you?
Water.
Water.
And maybe,
water.
Again, maybe I look at it more like glass half empty than people look at when you're like evaluating a team. If I know a team's going to make the playoffs or the NCAA tournament, I try to think way more about what can get you beat and how to fix it than what is going to make you win.
Yeah.
Like with Kansas last year, we all knew if KU was going to shoot lights out, they were going to go far in the NCAA tournament. They were the best shooting team last year in college basketball.
Yeah.
But what happens if you start missing threes? Like, you got to figure out something else. So I kind of spend more time thinking with I know the Chiefs can score. Like, telling you every day that the Chiefs can score, we all know that. Like, I ain't telling you nothing new here. They're going to score a lot of points. We know that. But what happens in a scenario that's not crazy to think that they only score 31 points in that game? Is that enough?
Yeah.
Because looking at their defense, it may not be enough, which is crazy to think about this team. That I think the Chiefs' best defense is their offense. That their offense creates such a you got to keep up with the mentality that really puts you behind the eight ball. Man, that's playoff football is just different. We know this and we've seen it before that the playoffs is just a different beast. And sometimes you got to win a grinded out 27-24 kind of game. Like, I'm going to be very curious to see the passing numbers once the weather changes everywhere in the country. Like what's going to happen in November when it's 31 degrees outside? Not saying the Chiefs' offense goes to 13 points. I don't think that's possible. What if it goes to 27 points? Is that still good enough for you to win with this defense that can't stop the run? Like, we got to ask these questions of a team that we think can realistically win the Super Bowl and hold them to the standard. There's only one thing holding this team back. It's not the offense. It's not the head coach.
Not the special teams.
It's not special teams.
Yeah.
It's not the running back. Like this team can't run the football. It's not skill position guys. Man, you got a really good quarterback. You don't got weapons around him. But there's one thing holding this team back. They're bad defensively. Like, really bad defensively. They can't stop you if you want to run the ball. They can't stop you if you really want to throw the ball. Like, if a team came out and said, man, we think we can throw on the Chiefs, we're going to throw it 50 times. I don't know if they can stop you from doing that either. So, like, what's the next thing about it? Man, there's only three options to me. It's you trust in Bob Sutton to fix the defense the way that the New England trusts Bill Belichick to fix it. It's hoping that you get Barry and Justin Houston back and they really help this defense. Because I don't think Eric Murray's the answer or Daniel Sorensen is the answer. Or you think this team goes out there and makes a move and let's evaluate them. If this team gets Patrick Peterson and Peterson's your one and Fuller's your two and now you can go Orlando Scandrick to your three and Steven Nelson's your four, you got a damn good cornerback group that changes the defense for everybody in that scenario. But it's going to take something drastic, in my opinion, to really shape my opinion differently about the Chiefs.
Well, what I learned from the Patriots game was basically this. And we had talked about the Chiefs being able to get some key stops and they really needed to, you know, in the first 5 weeks of the season. And they did. They did it in Denver in a game that was in the 20s. So they proved they could do that, go on the road, trail in the fourth quarter, win a game in the 20s. They did that against Denver. What I learned in the New England game was basically this. And by the way, the Chiefs defense was on the field for 75 plays, which is ridiculous. I mean, and New England had the football for 13 more minutes than the Chiefs did. The Chiefs ran 53 plays. New England ran 75. That'll gas a defense. So what I learned basically from the New England game is that they can get those stops when you have Justin Houston out there, when you have a guy like Eric Murray out there. But, man, when you're running your fourth and fifth and sixth best safeties out there and you don't have Justin Houston, they can't get those stops. New England never punted. They went for it on fourth down one time, didn't make it, and the other one the Chiefs forced a turnover. Like, you've got to get the occasional stop. And with this group that they have right now, that's playing right now, not, you know, with Justin Houston, I think you bring him back, I think that changes things dramatically if you've got Ford and Houston on both sides. But right now they don't have enough to get the key stop when they need it against a playoff-caliber team. Now, they may be able to do it at Arrowhead against Cincinnati with a little extra juice in the building. I get that. They probably have enough to do it against Cleveland. They'll have enough to do it against Arizona. But when it comes time, you know, when as my dad says, who's an old, you know, cattle farmer guy, when it's nut cutting time, what can you do? You know, and I don't think the Chiefs have enough with this group right now to be able to make a big stop when they need it in the playoffs against a really, really good team, because that's what we saw on Monday night. They couldn't get a stop when they need to. They couldn't get off the field 75 plays. So not only can you not get a stop, but now you're on the field so much longer and you're wearing down, man. And so, I mean, what's that going to be like in week 13? You know, we're in week 6 right now of this deal. So I think your only option of the stuff that you mentioned, C-Dot, is Brett Veach has got to be the guy that we think he is. He's got to be Johnny Aggressive. He's got to go out there and he's got to add to this roster, because I don't think you can count on Barry coming back, even though I think he will be back at some point. You can't count on Bob Sutton being able to turn this defense around, because he hasn't been able to do it the last couple of years. I know he did it in 2015. And I can't count on Justin Houston being completely healthy the rest of the season. So the only option, in my opinion, is for Brett Veach to get aggressive and go get Patrick Peterson or somebody like him.
And what really, I guess, frustrates me in this whole process is, and I understand it, so I'm not passing any level of judgment, but we've all seen a movie before, and the movie's something very similar to something we've seen before. And you say to yourself, man, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's going to happen before.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any city that knows what it's like to have a really, really good offense and a defense that's not up to snuff, it's Kansas City. Like, you've seen this movie before.
You've also seen the other part of it where you have a good defense and a crummy quarterback. or a quarterback, crummy is probably a strong word, but a quarterback that's not capable of taking you where you want to go.
But I guess in this is, and maybe some of the excitement about Mahomes is, and maybe Mahomes is different. But, man, that Chiefs offense that lost in 2003, it's not like they scored 13 points in the playoffs. Man, it took losing the turnover battle, and then the other team's quarterback just made more plays than your team's quarterback, and that was the margin. That we all know that we shrink every playoff or every regular season. We shrink down 16 weeks, and then we put it in a 60-minute, anything-can-happen, 50-50 proposition with two really good NFL teams, and things change really, really quickly. And then I look at it from this aspect of, and maybe this is what frustrates me the most about the Chiefs is, have you ever, like, spent a lot of money on something, then you're, like, really upset with what you got?
Absolutely.
That's the run defense. Yeah. The Chiefs spent a lot of money on their run defense. Their run defense is no better. Their run defense is worse than it was last season.
Yeah.
I heard Brett Veach all offseason talk to me about how they needed to get younger and faster and more aggressive. Tell me that's the case. If a team has shown they're committed to running the football against the Chiefs, they can. Tell me otherwise. Because whenever a team so far this season has said, we think we can run the ball on the Chiefs, we're going to be committed to running the football. Jacksonville in the first half, before Blake Bortles turned into Blake Bortles, when they wanted to run the ball with T.J. Yeldon, they could. Denver, first half with Case Keenum, whenever they had the lead and they weren't playing scared. Phillip Lindsay was running the ball very effectively against the Chiefs. Royce Freeman had four Chiefs around him at the 21 and still scored a touchdown. This week, Sonny Michel. We all knew Sonny Michel was going to run 400 yards in this one. That at least if you're going to spend the resources, like this offseason, the Chiefs prioritized pass defense over run defense. At least get what you pay for.
Yeah.
I mean, you paid for a porterhouse steak. You got a McDonald's cheeseburger in this.
Yeah, you got screwed.
Like, you paid $30 million to improve your run defense. You went out. You gave Anthony Hitchens $25 million. You got Derek Nnadi. You spent all this stuff on run defense improvement. And Xavier Williams. And this is supposed to be a different run defense. This would be different if you could force teams to be one-dimensional. You can't force teams to do anything they don't want to do. I mean, if New England really wanted to throw the ball 50 times at Brady and throw for 400 yards, they could have.
And here's the thing, though, too, man. Like, how many – we heard this before last season. I remember hearing Derek Johnson talking about it before last season. We got to play better run defense. And what ended up getting them knocked out of the playoffs? The run defense. So they went out and they spent a bunch of money on the run defense. They drafted D linemen. They signed Xavier Williams. They went out and paid a free agent linebacker. I mean, this isn't a new problem. Like, they keep pouring money into this problem, and you're getting nothing out of it, man. Getting nothing out of it. So, I don't know. Like, you know, the people on the text line are bringing up, you know, well, what was the score in the Super Bowl? Listen, the Chiefs aren't getting to that point if they can't stop anybody, okay? They're not going to make it to that point to be able to try and outscore somebody. That's not how it's going to work. You're telling me that you play New England again, maybe you get them in Kansas City, maybe it's a different outcome, but the only solution to this problem is Brett Veach getting on the horn, working the phones, and bringing in somebody. That's really it. That's what it comes down to, because what they have right now defensively is not going to get you where you want to go with a historically good offense.
And, I mean, I think it's, again, I think sometimes that we don't maybe tell the full story about teams. That, yes, the Super Bowl last year, it was a very high-scoring affair. Man, Philadelphia had to win a game 19-12 to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Their offense wasn't clicking that day. Their defense needed to win them a game. Man, it's hard to expect your offense to carry you every single week.
And the reason we're complaining about this is because the standards have changed over the first 6 weeks of the season. All right, the expectations have changed. All right, with the offense that you have. So if the Chiefs are 3-3 and Mahomes has struggled a little bit, we're thinking about, hey, you know, maybe next year. I mean, it feels like they might get – no, man. You got an offense to win the Super Bowl right now. So that means you got to go out and do something. And I'm not banking on Eric Berry's health. I'm not banking on Bob turning things around. I'm banking on Brett Veach getting on the horn and getting something done.
From the Twitter account of Dan Wetzel, in a taped conversation that was not allowed into evidence today.
Goodness. Bill Self did what?
Adidas's Merrill Cole, I believe that's how you pronounce the gentleman's name. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Adidas's Merrill Cole and Kansas assistant Curtis Townsend discussed the recruitment of Zion Williamson, who ended up at Duke. All right.
I told you, man. I told you. It's getting closer and closer and closer. The text messages were in court yesterday, and now you've got something on the phone. It's going to stick to KU. Somebody's going down, man.
We'll see. I don't think anybody's going down, but we'll definitely see what happens. Okay. It is getting very, very interesting.
More news is coming out and more smoke is coming out, not less.
We'll play coming up in just a bit. Terrez Paylor was on the show earlier today. We'll play for you what he had to say about the Chiefs bringing in Derek Johnson, if you think that's a good move or a bad move for the team. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Fanning here, Spector here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up, Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete and Sean at 6 to 7. And then Bink at Night will got you from 7 to 9. Earlier today, we had on Terrez Paylor. We talked to him about the idea of bringing back Derek Johnson to the Chiefs. This is what Terrez said about bringing Derek Johnson back to Kansas City.
So the thing you got to think about here is that I think it's something that could or probably even should happen if they suffer, like, an injury to the core. Because, like, at this point, you know, remember, like, you don't just sign backup linebackers to be backup linebackers. Like, whoever you have as a backup inside linebacker needs to play special teams, too. That's, like, a really important job description as a number three or number four inside linebacker, is a guy who can be, like, a core special teamer. So if you brought in DJ, just in my opinion, it'd be as, okay, Reggie Ragland's knee is killing him. He's on IR. Then it's like, oh, okay, DJ. Or like Anthony Hitchens. If Hitchens is hurt and he needs to go on short-term IR, he needs to sit, then it would make sense, right? You make Ben Neiman give up the number, right? But, like, the thing is that, you know, I don't know. Like, the Raiders don't have, like, a good defense. And maybe they're going younger. I don't know. But this was a guy Gruden signed. So I think that DJ's presence in a room could be very helpful. I think from a starting perspective, though, the Chiefs paid Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, you need that. You need production. Like, that, you can't just, like, flush it. He's going to play. He's going to keep playing. You gave up an asset for Ragland, too. Like, you need those guys to produce. And the only way I could see, like, you know, DJ from a productivity, you know, standpoint being an upgrade is if, like, one of those guys gets hurt. And now you need, like, a seamless transition. If that's what happens, I get it. And if it happens before that, that means that they have seriously misjudged their all inside linebacker talent.
Terrez, I at least feel like you have to bring him in for a workout at this point. Like, your inside linebacker position is just not solidified enough for you at least not to bring in Derek Johnson, workout, see how he feels, and then see if it's a good fit for you, because this is probably it for Derek Johnson. If he doesn't get picked up by Kansas City, I just don't see Carolina picking him up or another team. This is it. To me, you at least have to do your, you know, homework on this and at least bring him in for a workout.
I mean, you've already done your homework on Derek. You had him for, like, you know, what was it, 12 years, 13 years or something? Like, you know what the guy is. And you, more importantly, like, it's not like he didn't play. He has played. Like, there's paper on him. Yeah, you could bring him in. But like, it's not like you need to find out what kind of guy he is. Like, you know what kind of guy he is. He's a special guy. He's respected in the room. He had a really good influence on Ragland. But from, like, from the standpoint of, like, making this defense better, like, you paying Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, I don't know if he's playing hurt. I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of consternation about the inside linebacker play. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get more production from the spot from the guy you're paying. You know, like, there's not going to be, like, a savior at this point in the year.
Talking to senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Terrez Paylor. To me, it sounds like, and I hadn't thought about that until you brought it up, Terrez, but if you're needing a backup linebacker to be special teams guy, that's not Derek Johnson. If that's the case, there's probably not going to be a home for him anywhere in the league. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Pretty much. But that doesn't – again, the only thing that changes with that is that guys get hurt. It's
yeah.
a physical league, even still. So, like, if somebody gets hurt and you need a starting caliber player, as long as they are, guess what? 56 seen a lot of ball. If you let him run and chase, he can help you. If you let Derek Johnson run and chase, he can help you, right? But, you know, that's as a, you know, 3-4 you know, will, as maybe even a 4-3 will in, like, the right situation, you know. This is a passing league. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to sprint now.
Yeah.
You got to be able to cover. And, you know, this is a young man's game inside linebacker. But let me tell you this, though. If they bring him in for a workout or they sign him, there's no doubt about the man. And honestly, there's no doubt about his ability to help, like, in certain situations. Yeah. But you guys are killing the defense, as you should. They're not, like, great. But, you know, the only path to the defense getting better this year is through a trade for, like, a stud or, you know, these inside linebackers you've got right now getting better. That's it.
I really hope that someone ask Terrez Paylor, or not Terrez, tomorrow, Andy Reid. I really hope that somebody ask Andy Reid about Derek Johnson tomorrow. You can ask him. He's out there. He's available. You can ask Andy Reid. He can comment on him. He's not signed to a team. I really hope that's a question. I think we'll learn more information tomorrow if Derek Johnson is in the Chiefs' plan, if they plan on bringing him in. I'll be really, really interested and curious to hear what happens if that's the case. I want to read for you the transcripts of the conversation between the Adidas rep and Curtis Townsend and tell me what you think. The first person is an Adidas worker. His name is Merle Code, M-E-R-L. I believe you pronounce that Merle. Maybe that's how you pronounce
the
name.
So, yeah.
M-Code, let's just call him that. Quote, hey, but between me and you, he asked about some stuff. He, meaning Zion Williamson, he asked about some stuff. I know what he's asking for. He's asking for opportunities from an occupational perspective. He's asking for cash in the pocket, and he's asking for housing for him and his family. Curtis Townsend, quote, I've just got to try to work and figure out a way, because if that's what it takes to get him for 10 months, we're going to have to do it some way. This was denied into evidence because there was limited context to it. I feel like I know the context very well.
Got to get the contents on
right.
That, man.
Speck, how do you feel that your school ponied up the money to get Zion Williamson? Shady recruiting.
We've been getting away with it since 1999 with Corey Maggette. We'll be fine.
Shady recruiting going on. I'm happy that Missouri would never do something like this. We would just do it the good
old... That's why they haven't ever gone to the Final Four.
We would just do it the old... We would just do it the tried and true kind of way.
Yeah.
Just pay the parents. You know what I mean? Like, you find
just
a
hire
kid,
the parents, put them on the coaching
yeah,
staff.
Yeah, you find a kid that's really, really talented and just make his dad the assistant coach. That's what you should do. Coming up next, Arrowhead Pride Radio, Sean Barber, P. Sweeney. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. I assume they'll talk about Derek Johnson. I can't wait to hear it coming up. It's the draft.
You've been there, right? You put on that jacket you haven't worn in like 6 months. Reach into the pocket and find a McCafe Brew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.